Hi, I'm Femi Oke. You're watching the stream. Last October, massive protests across Nigeria brought about the end of a notorious police unit. Just recently, Nigerians gathered in Abuja, the capital of Nigeria, to mark the anniversary of the End SARS successful campaign. Take a look.
None of the demands that led to End SARS have been met. And that also, it is important that those who have been jailed are released immediately, 300 of them or more, that we know of.
We hope that this will serve as a lesson and as a reminder to generations coming after us that indeed, with resilience, with commitment, that we can surmount our fears and we can confront every issue that is bedeviling our nation.
In this episode, we will hear from activists still pushing for social justice and for police reform in Nigeria. And I would love to hear from you as well. The comment section is open on YouTube. Be part of today's discussion. Now, normally I start the show talking about the guests that we have. I think it's also relevant if I tell you about the guest who said, no, we're not coming on the stream today. The head of the Complaint Police Response Unit in Nigeria. Nothing. Commissioner of Nigeria Police wouldn't talk to us. Talk to you. I even talked to the special assistant of President Buhari. Can I have a statement? A video comment? Would you like to be on the show? No, thank you. But the activists that we do have on, you'll be very pleased to hear from them. Obianuju, Renu, Fisayo, so good to have you. Let's start with Obianuju. You, first of all, will you introduce yourself to our audience? Tell them why you're important on this topic. If they know End SARS, they will know you. But this is for the benefit of our international audience. Go ahead.
My name is Obianuju Iloanya. I'm a gender equality advocate and a social justice campaigner. The reason why...
We're going to come back to Obianuju in just a moment. We have a little problem there with our connection. Let's go to Renu. Renu, welcome to the stream. Introduce yourself to our international audience. Hello, Renu. Renu,
my name is Renu Abdullah, and I am a human rights advocate. I also direct projects at the Connect Hub. It's a platform that documents and advocates against state violence in Nigeria. Thank you.
Good to have you. Fisayo, welcome to the stream. Tell everybody who you are, what you do, why you're important to this conversation.
Thank you. My name is Fisayo Shoyombo. I'm the founder and editor-in-chief of the Foundation for Investigative Journalism. And after what happened on October 2020, I conducted and published a three-part investigation into what happened. Part one focused on the threats, the attempt to subdue activists. Part two focused on the victims, those who were killed. And part three focused on the injuries.
Fisayo, in the introduction, I talked about the successful End SARS campaign. It was pretty remarkable that protesters, that people power, toppled, closed down a notorious police unit. Let me just show you here. I know you've seen this over the past year from the Nigeria Police Force. Five things to know about the dissolution of the Special Anti-Robbery Squad, also known as SARS. And there's a whole list of things that will happen. Officers from the unit, they're going to be redeployed. There's going to be a new policing arrangement, citizen strategy. So police will talk to citizens. And there will be a new way of working, a new way of the police operating in Nigeria. Fisayo, why are you shaking your head?
Because none of these things has happened. Absolutely not one of them. You know, beyond the symbolic effort of pronouncing, of outlawing SARS, nothing has changed. You know, the policemen who were in SARS are still in other units of the police. You know, brutality is still going on. Police oppression, extortion of innocent citizens. My organization, FIJ, has published lots of stories. Dozens of them since the protest ended. So nothing has changed about the operations of the police. This was given out to the people because at that time, the government just needed to get protesters off the streets. You know, and once that was achieved, business as usual.
Exactly. Exactly.
So when nothing has changed, Obianuju, what does that mean? Business as usual, what does that mean for the police?
What it means is that the police is going ahead to keep exploiting people, to keep profiling young people, to keep killing us, sexually violating us, and all lots of things. But also, more importantly, it means that there has been no justice for people who have been victims of SARS or survivors of SARS brutality. There have been no justice or closure for the families. And that's very horrible. We have to understand the importance of social justice in a democratic setting. In a country that claims to be democratic and wants to develop, human rights are important to be respected. But more importantly, social justice is very key. When people do not have access to justice, what it leads to is a state of anarchy. People begin to seek justice for themselves. So we have a large number of SARS officers who are known to have committed crimes against humanity, who are known to have been murderers, and yet they walk around freely and they say, well, we have dissolved SARS. But that's a lie. Just like Fisayo just told you, what they did was absorb SARS into the existing Nigerian police. So they continue in their murderous act, they continue violating people's rights, they continue killing all of us. So it's business as usual. Nothing has changed. Nothing would ever change if the 545 is not thoroughly listened to and taken into cognizance, yeah.
So I also wanted to add, Rina,
go ahead.
I wanted to add to what they said. I'm sorry if you said for cutting you short. I wanted to say that the Nigerian state has no intention of ending police brutality, just like Obianuju has said.
Exactly.
I like to say that the reason is because they benefit from the indignity, they benefit from the humiliation, they benefit from the suppression and the oppression of the citizens of Nigeria. One thing that young people did not realize is that we were asking for dignity from people who are benefiting from our indignity. We are asking for freedom from people who are benefiting from our enslavement. I mean, Fisayo and Obianuju has talked about how maybe they've talked about how SARS has been disbanded over 4 times in Nigeria now without actual disbandment. How many promises of reforms have been made without actual reforms? How empty promises from the Nigerian government resonate in the mind of young Nigerians? For people that do not know what SARS is, SARS is a police unit in Nigeria that is known for extortion, that is known for extrajudicial killings, immersed in corruption, torture, harassment, rape, profiling, mission crimes. And the men of SARS have not just been killing Nigerians. They are effectively killing dreams and future leaders. However, they are not the only unit involved in this, but they have the highest number of fatal cases, often resulting in deaths from torture. Many units in the Nigerian police, the anti-cultism, anti-kidnap squad, IGP, IRT, mention them. They are also very deadly with their use of force against Nigerians. And enough was finally enough. I wanted to say that SARS was purportedly disbanded by the Nigerian government, but critical issues, like Obianu just said, of police brutality remain. Police officers are still going on a rampage of extortion, extrajudicial killing, and harassment across the country. Like Fisayo said, his foundation, and you know, Connect Up also has been documenting cases of extortion. I mean, just in September alone, over 10 young Nigerians, if I can recall, as documented by Connect Up, were killed by Nigerian police officers. The Nigerian government cannot claim to be ignorant of this.
Okay.
You know, and nothing has been done in the aspect of police reforms.
So, guests, let me put some thoughts to you from YouTube, because our audience are joining in your conversation. Chidinundu says, nothing, absolutely nothing has changed with policing a year after the end SARS protest. Nothing has changed. But Michael says, I have noticed a change in the way the government handle cases of police violence. If there is a recorded incident being spread on social media, the government swiftly tackles the officers involved. Fisayo, thoughts?
I disagree.
Yeah.
And you see,
I disagree too.
We are not going to see a change. We are not going to see a change anytime soon, because the guys at the top of the police who should do the cleanup are beneficiaries of the system. Now, those benefiting from the system, who have benefited from the system all through their lives, who rose through the ranks in that rut, they're not going to dismantle the status quo. So it's not going to happen. What they do is that when cases of police brutality, extortion get reported, they refund the victim. If police extort 100,000 from you, they refund. But they don't punish the erring officers. And that shows you that the intention is not to cause change. It's just to say, don't get caught.
Exactly.
You know, the guys at the top, the commissioners of police at state levels, implicitly, they are telling police officers, go to the streets, extort people, just don't get caught. And that cannot continue.
Let me just bring in here Matthew's thought here. Obianeju, I'm going to put this to you. Matthew says, can you imagine 1 year after NSAR's protest, more than 300 protesters are still languishing in different prisons and police cells across the south of Nigeria? I also want to remind people about the protesters being scooped up, OK? So this is one of them. They spoke to us just a little bit earlier on. He's a programmer, he's an NSAR's protester, and he just explained the hell of his last year. Have a listen to this, Obianeju, and then have a comment immediately afterwards. Let's take a look.
I joined the NSAS protest because, as a programmer, I want to be able to move around with my phones and my laptops without the fear of being harassed or being brutalized by the police force. Shortly after the NSAS protest, I was abducted by the state security services in the middle of the night and was detained for 41 days underground in a cell. While in custody, I was not allowed any form of communication to my family or my lawyers. Eventually, I was charged with criminal conspiracy with others at large and disturbance of public peace on 2 count charges. All applications for release of my working tools, held hostage by the state services, are being denied. Currently, I am facing trial and the state services are hell-bent on convicting me for a crime I didn't commit.
Go ahead, thoughts?
Okay.
So, everything he said
know,
is
the good thing is that I matched.
Yeah, you go ahead.
Okay. I matched with Michael Imolayo. I matched with him in Abuja. He was with me during the NSAS protest in Abuja. So I know firsthand what he was talking about. Immediately after the NSAS protest, no, while it was still ongoing, a lot of us had to leave our houses because it was not safe for us. He was unlucky. He was one of the unlucky ones that was baited and then abducted from his house. Without any information whatsoever, we wrote petitions to our lawyers, to different organizations, to the DSS, to the police, and they denied having him in custody. That's how bad it was. But this point, this is a pointer to how deadly the Nigerian security system is. You do not even, ordinarily, when someone is accused of a crime, you arrest the person and take the person to court. Here, they abduct people, they kidnap. And if you do not pay attention, you lose your loved one. That's just like my case. My brother was arrested, and that was how we lost him, never seeing him again. For the past 10 years now, we've not had access to my brother. We don't know if he's alive or dead. And if he's dead, we do not even have access to his dead body. That's how badly rotten the Nigerian government is and the Nigerian police force is. They will go at any length to silence anybody and to show that the show of force, the power that is in their hands, they're going to use it as they deem fit. And this is a problem.
So I wanted to
this
add,
is a problem because
I wanted to
have, we're supposed to be
on,
a Obianeju, democracy.
I wanted to add to what you said. So before you go on, I wanted to add that talking about the 5 for 5, and like Obianeju said, and like Imolayo said, the Nigerian government still has protesters in prison, several protesters. Recently, Fisayo can corroborate my thoughts that a 17-year-old girl gave birth in prison for being a passerby at the protest grounds. Many judicial panels never took off in the first place. The cries for change have largely gone ignored by the Nigerian government. The movement to end police brutality in Nigeria is still on. And we're tired of the killings, we're tired of the extortion, we're tired of the profiling, the indiscriminate arrests, the unfair treatment. And the fights may have gone on TV screens. People need to know that it doesn't mean the police brutality has ended in Nigeria or reduced, like you said. So go ahead, Obianeju.
Fisayo, let me just bring in Fisayo for a moment. Fisayo, there have been state panels for accountability, and stories of and people come forward for these state panels. Where does that fit into police reform in Nigeria? How helpful have these panels been?
To the extent that the government has succeeded in playing to the gallery, it has been helpful. And why do I say this? So lots of panels have awarded sums of money to Nigerians who are victims of SARS brutality, but they haven't been paid. Because the law states that the Attorney General of the Federation has to give, if a state institution, you know, is ordered to pay by a court of law, the Attorney General of the Federation has to give the go-ahead. And up to now, it hasn't done that. So a lot of what you've seen in the papers, Lagos panel awards 100 million, awards 20 million, people say, oh, fantastic, something is happening. All these sums of money that have been approved are not yet in the pockets of the victims. You know, that's the first thing. And the second is, the most important incident of the defining moment, the crowning moment of the EndSARS protest of 2020 was October 20. That panel that was set up by the Lagos state government was frustrated. The panel closed sitting without reaching a conclusion, and a member of the panel admitted that we have been frustrated. We cannot reach a definite conclusion on what has gone down. And so the question is, what exactly is the government hiding? Government has set up a panel, and that same panel is being frustrated. There cannot be any individual, any organization more powerful in any country than the government. So who is frustrating that panel?
I wanted to add to what Fisayo said. Fisayo, we need to understand that the Nigerian government is afraid. I wanted to add the other time that the Nigerian government barely disbanded SARS because of public pressure. They never planned to take any lessons from the protests, just like Fisayo said, because they came back with a vicious force to clamp down frontliners, clamp down protesters, and they took provocative moves in opposition to Nigerian citizens whose crimes were to call for the effectiveness in the duty of leaders. The panels were set up because of public pressure. And so when the government realized that the attention was waning, they started using the panels as a means of gaslighting and whitewashing the Nigerian citizens. We should ask, some of these panels have ended. Some of them never even took off in the first place. So we need to ask that even these compensations that have been paid,
are we paying
complainants for whatever? Exactly. Are we paying complainants for whatever brutality they have gone through? What about the criminal police officers?
What about them in this situation?
All right. So you have guests. If I may, you have so many questions. And they're questions that deserve to be answered. And when you say, Renu, about gaslighting, I want to give you, our audience, an example, a very concrete example of what that may well look like. October the 20th last year, people gathered at Lekki Tollgate. They gathered to protest peacefully. They were singing the Nigerian national anthem. I'm setting the scene because that day, that protest, turned into a horrific massacre. Take a look. And then I'm going to play you Lai Mohammed, who is the information minister, and his response to what you're about to see with your very eyes just a week later. Take a look.
So you push him in pitch to his boss.
They arrive around 7 when everywhere is dark, so that nobody will know what they're about to do. When I'm about to leave, they came and they start shooting up. First of all, when they shoot gun from that step to that target, they now start shooting people. Straight bullets.
So on the anniversary of that massacre, Lai Mohammed, who is the information minister of Nigeria, said this.
The military did not shoot at protesters at the Lekki Tollgate on October 20, 2020. And there was no massacre at the Tollgate. The only massacre recorded was in the social media. Hence, there were neither police nor blood.
So, guess I'm just going to get you an instant response, a very brief one, because I'm going to push on. There was no massacre.
If I can go first, what you just showed you was proof.
Fisayo, okay. Finish up, Reno, then you go next. Yes. Just allow Fisayo to finish.
It is proof. Yeah. It is the ultimate proof that Nigeria is being governed by people with an absolute lack of conscience. These guys have no conscience because the whole world saw what happened. Protesters were shot at. I did a story. I named 3 dead protesters. Okay. I showed the faces.
Sorry, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this because we all know what happened.
Renu, briefly, I think this is a good example of gaslighting right there.
We saw it. We heard it. Yeah, we're not going to do an in-depth about Lekki Massacre actually happened. Reno, go ahead.
Hold on, Femi. So I wanted to say that the assertion by our own very spin doctor, the Minister of Disinformation, sorry, Minister of Information, Lai Mohammed, that the Lekki toll gate shooting did not happen. It's just a usual way of the Nigerian state to gaslight, like you said, the world into thinking that they do not commit war crimes against Nigerian citizens. They will refuse to acknowledge that they shot at peaceful protesters because they are protecting their own political interests. But the truth is sacrosanct. Shisaya documented, many other media organizations documented. It was indeed a massacre.
So that's all the time we're going to spend on that because we are not debating reality here. I want to bring in a print technologist and an NSARS protester. What we are hearing, audience, is a lack of trust in government and obviously the police. This is what he told us a little earlier.
2020 NSARS protest was the opportunity Nigerians used to let government realize the notorious activities of the SARS unit of the Nigerian Police Force. Among other demands, the protest was not totally successful, fine. But you look at it, a year down the line, the Nigerian police, their way of engaging the civilians didn't change, which means that particular demand has not been met. So that's why people are clamoring for an effective reform of the Nigerian police force so that they can gain back the trust of the civilians.
Obian Nuju, where does effective reform come from?
It comes from policy making. We have to make policies that make our institutions stronger. Again, the Nigerian police should not in any way be accountable to the executive. It should be an institution on its own, which can be probed at any time. Again, I say there should be total reformation. People who have been found guilty of crimes should be punished. And again, we should demilitarize our police. The very fact that in a country, especially in the southern part of Nigeria, where there is no war, we have police officers walking around with AK-47 and using it to threaten young people, that is wrong. We need to demilitarize our police force so that we can even have easy engagement with them. Because the first thing a police officer tells you in Nigeria is, I will kill you and nothing would happen. And that is because they have the weapon to kill you and get away with it.
Do you know, it's very hard to really contemplate the idea that the atrocities that we're talking about are being committed by police officers. It's really hard to get my head around that. In our YouTube chat audience, I see you YouTubers, there's a lot of anti-government speak, and I understand why you're doing that. I want to bring, if it's possible, a tiny little positive spin. This comes from Longray. Have a listen to what he says, Fasayo. I'm intrigued by this. Let's have a listen.
In my opinion, the NSARS marked a watershed in the history of policing in Nigeria. And it's no doubt that in the aftermath of the NSARS, we have a more responsive policing in Nigeria. What makes a policing system better than the other are the processes of transparency and accountability. And I believe these are some of the benefits that we could see, gain from the NSARS protests.
Fasayo, tell me one positive benefit that came out of the NSARS campaign. What is it? One.
Before I answer, I think this man lives in Togo or Ghana. This man is not Nigerian. With these comments I just made.
But He's Nigerian.
One positive is that the protest shook the government, the Nigerian government, to its foundations. For the first time, the government in Nigeria's Fourth Republic, the government sat down and realized that the youth have a voice and this protest can happen again if government continues to be irresponsible and the police continue to brutalize civilians. Another NSARS protest in another shape or form will happen 3 years down the line.
All right. I'm going to say thank you, guests, for now. There is always so much to talk about. Have a look here on my laptop. These are guests, I know you will agree, who are worth following on Twitter. This is Obian Nuju's Twitter account. Let me move over to Renu's Buhari, your dad. Nice banner. And finally, this is Fasayo's Twitter account. Thank you, guests. Appreciate you. YouTube comments were excellent. I'll see you next time. Thanks for watching, everybody. Take care.